Now this story will fit every one of us who believe the gospel. It fits every one of God's children. Every one of us can be named Onesimus. Onesimus. Now we have in this brief chapter a very rich gospel message. One of good news. One of a sinner sinning and the Lord saving. The Lord saving. I find hope for sinners in this chapter. And I find hope for me. Once again, I find hope for me through the grace of God in this chapter. My name is Onesimus. Let me give you the story here. I've just read it to you, but let me give it to you again. Philemon lived at Colossae, and evidently he was a wealthy man. He was a man that had servants. And Philemon heard the Apostle Paul preach the gospel when he was at Colossae. And Philemon opened up his home. The gospel will do that to you. It'll do that to you. It'll open up everything you've got. Your wallet, your home, everything. And he opened up his home, and Paul said to the church, he says in verse 2, he was, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. They met in his house. Paul preached in that man's house. And I have no doubt that when Paul preached in his house, that Philemon had his family, his friends, and his servants to gather together to hear the Apostle Paul preach. I have no doubt Onesimus heard the Apostle Paul preached in Colossae. I have no doubt about that. Well, God saved this man Philemon. And as I said, he had these servants. And one of these servants was an absolute rebel. Rebel. He was a servant now. He was a slave. That means, you know, back then, you became a slave because you couldn't pay your debts. You were indebted and you couldn't pay, so you would, you know, you'd serve and try to work that off. Well, Onesimus didn't like his master. The Lord saved this man, Philemon. And we know here, just by what we read about this man, about his love, the communication of his love and his faith, and he opened up his home, and he had the gospel preached in his home. Well, I believe this man, but I don't know what he was before the Lord saved him, but I'll tell you this, I know what he was after the Lord saved him. But Onesimus didn't like him. Onesimus didn't like him as a master at all. His ear was not bored. He yearned. Onesimus, like that prodigal son. He said, give me my inheritance. And he took off and he squandered it away. To the point where he was actually down there with the pigs. Slopping with the pigs. And Onesimus, he didn't like his master. So he got up one night and slipped out. Got on the horse and just slipped out of town. And he went to Rome. You see, he went to the big city lights. His heart was after, that's what his heart was after. He was after the lust of his flesh. This man wanted to fulfill the lust of his flesh. To him, freedom was being able to go to Rome and live like he wanted to. Which was, in his case, like the prodigal son. You know, just wasted it. Wasted it. And going to Rome, you know how far Rome was from Colossae? 1,000 miles. It was about 1,000 miles from Colossae to Rome, is what I've read. He wanted as far away from his master as he could get. And I tell you, when I read that and was reading this, I thought, that's me by nature, that you, by nature, we want as far away from God, the true God, or the only God there is. We want as far away from Him as we can get, don't we? We want to go to Rome. We want to go to Rome. Well, God's providence is in this, as it is in all things. So He takes off and He goes to Rome to get as far away from His master as He could. He knows, listen, He knows that in Rome, He can fulfill the lust of His flesh like He wants to. He can't do it there at Colossae. He has a master there. And He has a believing master. And that makes it even worse. He doesn't, because the world and the believer have two different natures. Have two different goals. Have two different loves. And except two agree, how can they walk together? So it's not going to happen. So He takes off to where it's more conducive to His nature. That's what He goes after. But I tell you, God's guiding this thing all along, isn't He? The Lord is guiding. His hand is on Him all along. The Lord knows where His sheep are. He knows where they are. Even though Onesimus doesn't know it, God's guiding him back to His servant Paul. No doubt he heard Paul in Colossae. But why didn't God save him there? There's only one reason I can give you. There's a time to be born. And there's a time to die. It was not his time to be born at that time. It was not his time. He's going to be born after he fulfills some of the lust of his flesh. After God lets him go down. I mean, he runs away. He's guilty. He's running from now his legal master. He's running from him. But God's going to let him do it. He's going to let him go 1,000 miles away. 1,000 miles. And he's going to run into the same man he heard preach the gospel there in Colossae. After he goes to Rome and he squanders everything and gets into whatever he gets into, he's going to run into the Apostle Paul again. In prison. Paul's in prison. But he's going to go and say, he's going to end up visiting the Apostle Paul. He's going to hear the gospel. Oh, I can just see God's hand in this. He's guiding, he's directing, he's letting this man have what he thinks is his way. But he's on the path that God has purposed him to be on in order to meet the Apostle Paul. And he's going to go hear Paul and he's going to hear the gospel and he's going to be saved. He leaves, listen. He leaves that he might be received forever. He's allowed to run away that he might be received forever. God allowed all his sheep to fall in Adam so that they might be received forever in Christ. He allowed every one of us to do this. He allowed every one of us to fall in Adam. Every one of us. He allowed every one of us to go our own way. Like sheep, we have gone our own way. Is what says in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone our own way. Well, that's for a while. That's for a while. Until he crosses our path and reveals Christ in us. Now, I want you to look in verse 10. We'll see Paul here as a type of our Lord's intercession. He says in verse 10, I beseech thee, I pray thee, for my son. That's a strong word, isn't it? That's my son. My son in the faith. And that's who he's praying for. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Did not Christ beget us through his bonds? When God saved you, what was the message? Christ and him crucified. Scripture says we are begotten again with the word of truth, and the word of truth is the gospel, and the gospel is Christ and him crucified. It wasn't Christ the miracle worker, it's Christ and Him crucified. You take away the cross. You take away the bonds of Christ, and no one's saved. No one. It's Christ and Him crucified. And also notice this. This whole letter, this whole intercession is about one sinner who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's not praying for the world. He's praying for one sinner named Onesimus. Look over in John 17. In John 17, in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. He never has. If he did, he'd get it. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. Paul is interceding here for one sinner whom the Lord has saved, Onesimus. Our Lord prays in His intercessory prayer. He intercedes for His sheep. That's who He prays for, His sheep. Which in time past, He says in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, worthless. Have you really ever seen yourself worthless? Paul says, this man, Philemon, this man, Onesimus, the one I'm beseeching you over, you know who he is. He's worthless. He's worthless. Well, that's us and Adam. That's absolutely a good description of us and Adam. We have all sinned in Adam. We've all sinned in ourselves. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the Scripture says, after we have done all that we should do, can do, say this, we are still unprofitable servants. So don't be asking for a raise or expecting rewards in heaven. You're unprofitable. People think they're going to get rewards in heaven. He says, if you've done all you should do, you're unprofitable servants. All who are there, all who are in glory, are there by the merits and grace of another. You know that. But now listen. Here's the work of our Lord. But now profitable to thee and to me. Profitable. I looked that word up. It means this. Fit for use. Isn't that such a beautiful word. Fit for use. He that was worthless, he that was fit for nothing, I mean, no doubt Onesimus caused him headaches, Philemon. No doubt he grumbled and complained about everything he had to do. And I'm sure that everything he did, he probably did not do very well. His attitude was in his work, I assure you. But now, he's sending him back, and he's saying to Philemon, he's profitable. This man is now fit for use. Oh, I tell you, God has taken something that was worthless, and He has made it fit for use. In Christ. Now, I can tell you this based on God's Word. In Christ, you're fit for use. In Christ, you're profitable. In Christ, you're profitable in the kingdom of God. We're profitable to each other. We're not bringing God a profit, I know that. But we are fit for the Master's use. He says here in verse 12, I got to hurry along here. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. Paul's heart's in his prayer. If we could only comprehend the heart and the passion that Christ intercedes for us with. We don't always pray with much heart. Not always. I wish we did. But our Lord prays with such passion, such love. Every time He intercedes with such passion for His people. He says in verse 13, "Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel." But notice here in verse 14, "But without thy mind would I do nothing." Note the oneness here. Christ said in John 17, "I and my Father are one. We are one." If there's anything you can read in John 17, it's the oneness of Christ and the Father, Christ and His people. He says here, "I wouldn't do anything." Paul said, and Paul, listen, Paul could. He had the power as an apostle to tell Philemon, "You just receive him back and you treat him right." But he didn't do that. He beseeches him for love's sake to receive this man. And he says, "I wouldn't do anything without your mind." Without your mind. Christ did nothing of himself. He spoke nothing of himself. He said, "As I hear, I speak." I speak. Everything he did was according to his Father's will concerning us. Everything. He did nothing without the Father's mind, without the Father's will in it. He did nothing. That's what Paul said in Philemon. But without thy mind, I would do nothing. I thought that's our Lord. He did nothing that was not according to the will of the Father. He always sought his Father's will. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever." We left for a season. God let every one of his sheep fall in Adam and depart for a season. Every one of them. We all went our own way. But there is a purpose in it. And what is that purpose? Here's the purpose. That thou shouldest receive him forever. Forever. The purpose of God allowing his people to fall in Adam is that in Christ they might be received forever. Never to fall again. That'll never happen again. If Adam had not fallen, and we know that's, this is to make a point. If he had not fallen, that would still be hanging over our head. Somebody would. God in his wisdom allowed all of it to happen in one man. Adam, so that salvation would happen all in one man, Christ. That's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. So the purpose of God allowing us to fall in Adam is that we might be received in Christ forever. And fit for the Master's use. Oh, I tell you, I don't know what that new heaven, new earth is going to be like. But I'm telling you now, we're not going to be floating around on a cloud playing a harp. It's going to be busy. It's going to be a new earth like this one. And we're going to be busy doing things. It's not going to be, it's going to be without sin, which puts the sweat in work. That's what puts the sweat in work. If you take sin out of it, work would be a pleasure. Wouldn't it? I think it would. I think it'd be just as much a pleasure as it would be if you're going out and playing your favorite game. You take sin out of it. You wouldn't have to do it so many times over. Take sin out of it. You do it right the first time. And that's enjoyable when you get it right the first time. For perhaps, Paul says here, he departed for a season, that you should receive him forever. But now listen, not as a servant. You know, Christ doesn't pray for us, intercede for us to the Father as servants. He intercedes for us as what? Sons. Sons. That you might receive him forever, not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. But listen, God the Father has received us from the hands of Christ, not just as servants, but as sons. Now are ye the sons of God. Now, members of God's family. Members of that heavenly host of the redeemed. Now, if he said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If you count me as what? An equal. An equal. Our Lord over in Philippians thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If you count me as an equal, then receive him. Receive him as you receive me. How has God the Father received Christ? Well, he received him openly, lovingly, fully, and that's exactly the way he has received us in Christ. As you received him, as you received me, you receive him. Christ is no more loved. Now listen. Christ is no more loved than those who are in Christ. No more. God loves all those in Christ with the same love that he loves Christ with. We can't comprehend that. Can't comprehend that. You have children, you know. You have children here. And parents, you love your children. But you don't love the people down the road, children, like you do your own children, do you? I mean, they're your children. We are literally. Now, not just written in a book, but we are literally the sons of God, the children of God in Christ. And we are loved as he is. If you count me a partner, then you receive him as you receive me. If you count me an equal, and if he hath wronged thee, oh boy, if he hath wronged thee, Onesimus definitely wronged Philemon. Or oweth thee, if he's robbed thee, if he oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Paul said, I'll be surety for him. This is our Lord's. Our Lord said, I'll be surety for him. Charge me for his wrong. And if he's taken anything, done anything, you lay that to my account. I'll pay for it. You let him go. Don't you mention another word to him. Paul tells Philemon, you don't say another word to him. When he comes back, you like that prodigal was received by his father. He just ran out and put his arms around him and kissed him. And Paul said, if he's done you wrong, if he robbed you, I'll pay it. I'll pay it. Did our Lord not do that? Did he not do that? Charge me with their wrong. I will repay it, our Lord says. I'll make it right. I will make it right. And he's the only one who can make it right. He's the only one who can put away sin. I cannot put away what I've done. I cannot undo what I am. He can. And he did. I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. You have my word on it. Christ has given His word. I'll repay it. And you can be sure He'll keep His word, and He did at Calvary. He set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem to die, to pay the debt that Onesimus owed. All of us Onesimuses. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Christ's joy, His joy is our acceptance. When He presents us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight, He will rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He'll rejoice over us. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Our Lord knew. In John 17, in His intercessory prayer, He said in one place, Father, I know thou always hearest me. I know you always hear me. He had absolute confidence in His intercessory prayer that what He prayed, He would get. The Father would do. He says, Father, I will that those whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. You reckon He'll get that? I tell you what, He has full confidence that that will happen. Every one of them. Every last one of them will be with Him in glory. And every one of them, every last one of them, will behold His glory, the glory He had with the Father before the world was. Having confidence, our Lord prayed with absolute perfect confidence that He was heard and He would get what He asked for. Now, at the last of all, I want you to notice again, once again, at the bottom of this epistle, what it says, written from Rome to Philemon, by Onesimus, a servant. Paul dictated this letter. I know he says he wrote it with his own hand, but he dictated this letter to Onesimus. Can you imagine Onesimus writing this down as Paul, what Paul was telling it to him? Can you imagine the joy this man had, this runaway slave, this rebel? Can you imagine him writing this down as Paul is, and I just can't imagine the joy that was there. What joy it brought to Onesimus. Well, how much joy does this bring to me and you? Right here. How much joy does the Word of God bring to you and to me? But here's what I want to make on this, the point I want to make on this. Let us carry the Word of God with us to the throne of grace. Here's our acceptance letter. Here's our acceptance. Bring it with boldness. Bring it with joy. We have in our laps and in our hearts a letter. This thing called the Bible. Of acceptance. On behalf of Christ. He didn't say anything in there about Onesimus being worthy in and of himself, did he? He said, if you accept me, you accept him. That's what he's saying. If you receive me, you receive him. You receive him just like you'd receive me. My, what oneness. Paul identified himself with a crook. A slave, a crook, a liar. And Paul says to Philemon, his master, you receive him just like you receive me. I tell you what, that's good news to Onesimus. To this Onesimus. And to you, Onesimus, that I'm looking at. That's good news, isn't it? What a letter. What a letter. My soul.